So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. A preacher once said, preaching another sermon similar to this, he says, "I could not help but enjoy the look of so many faces when I declared in a sermon once that there was no longer any sin in the world." Keep stay with me. The looks became even more interesting when I suggested we take down all the religious symbols and replace them with mirrors. My point being that we have elevated ourselves to the love of God, for we place everything about us first in our lives too often. They're talking about reverse roles here, which is not good. If our needs and desires indeed come first, then we set our own standards of morality and practice. No sin, no accountability, no need to take up our time with anything other than with what pleases us. The issue in today's world, however, is one of life and death. What fruit had you in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. The epistle for today concludes, very familiar, very important. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't speak of different roads, it doesn't speak of different ways. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel today is concerned with where this abundant free life is to be found. The center of this story is the question of Jesus' disciples. How can anyone satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Now, they think this is only a problem because of the place in which they happen to find themselves. If they were not in this wilderness, but in the city or near a farmer's field, the problem might be solved. But Jesus knows that what the problem is, no matter where on earth you find yourself. For the prophet Isaiah asked, "Wherefore do we spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" Jesus commanded, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give unto you." There is literally nothing in this world to eat and to drink which will give man life. Everything he eats is food for only a moment. And then again, what happened? A few hours later, we're hungry. The world is never enough. It never, never satisfies. "The poor ye have with you always," says our Lord. For the true life or joy of man consists not in abundance of worldly things, for the possession and having of them maketh no man blessed or happy, neither shall the lack of them be the cause of his final misery. But the very life of man consisteth in God and in his promises, unto the which whoso cleaveth and sticketh shall live for life everlasting. Those are the words of St. Augustine of Hippo. This is why the doctrine of the modern world is so destructive and disheartening. For if the Lord commands, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," the present teaching is rather, the world's teaching, "Feed men's bodies first and then care for their soul." This new doctrine takes the promises out of heaven and brings them down to earth. "Seek first the kingdom of mammon," or man, "and his abundance, and only then shall the spiritual multiply, then peace and happiness, joy, will arrive after." It's 180 out from what God teaches in His Word. Now, the problem with this modern doctrine is not that it's just wrong. Quite obviously, it's wrong. As you look to things as the gospel commands, but also that it turns out to be false on its own terms. First, the abundance of goods does not bring peace and happiness, as the experience of the United States or contemporary Europe will show. We have all this abundance. We can go to the store and get most anything we want when we want. We have the money to pay for it. And when we look around, it just isn't enough. Second, the abundance of worldly things is not possible for all men. Is there any prospect that the problem of poverty in New York will be solved? That the countries of Africa and South America will achieve wealth? That the poverty in our own country will be finally overcome? When Jesus said, "The poor ye have with you always," men might fail to believe him because no one had ever tried to feed them. Now we have endeavored nothing else except prosperity for the last 100 years, more than 100 years. And we know by experience that what he said is true. Indeed, the prospect is now that we shall all get poor since we have exhausted the wealth of nature. We hear that every day, that the earth is going to be without, we're going to run out of oil, we're going to run out of this, and yet God continues to provide. If we seek the kingdom of the world, mammon's kingdom comes first, us. We shall never get to the kingdom of heaven, for the work of this world is never done. The work of this world is never done. The demands of man are endless. The whole world is a wilderness. It can never satisfy. The gospel must always be preached to men with empty stomachs, men who know the nothingness of the world and have turned from it. This, then, must be the true sense of the question, how can anyone satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And here comes the good part of the story. There is only one bread that can feed, the bread of eternal life, and one cup that can satisfy, the cup of everlasting salvation. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And so now the gospel is clear. The feeding is only for those who seek Jesus. God is a kingdom first. Only for those who seek Jesus, God is kingdom first. As St. Mark's Gospel today says, the multitude have been listening to Jesus for 3 days and were left with nothing to eat. Only the hungry can be fed. This bread is only to be found in the wilderness. Those who love the world and its pleasures will never find it. The bread is Christ himself. His actions in the wilderness are the same as his Last Supper. He breaks bread before them, which will become for them his very body and blood. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it. And this food satisfied. So they ate and were filled. Indeed, it turns out to be more than enough. What did they do at the end? They took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. We know finally that the food is distributed by his disciples. This is the same food which is distributed to us by his church, for our situation is the same. He commanded them to set it before them. We, like the multitude, cannot live except we eat this food and drink this cup. Unless he be our vine and we his branches, we wither and die. He alone satisfies. Nothing else. He alone satisfies. The bread which he gives for the life of the world is his flesh. Come and live. Come and eat. Come, eat with that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Come, receive the priceless treasure free, without price, without money. Come, for unless ye live in him and he in you, ye have no life in you. Come, for the body broken, and the blood poured out is the bread of eternal life, and the cup of everlasting salvation. Our focus should always be on the cross, on our Lord's outstretched hands in recognition and appreciation of what he has done for us once offered, as we say in the words of the Mass, our redemption and eternal life. Let us therefore render the thanks and praise which is due unto the giver of this perfect gift, all might, majesty, dominion, praise, and power, now and forever. In a few minutes, as we prepare, will you come to the feast? Will you come for that food which satisfies, for that cup which washes away sin, his very body and blood? Let us prepare ourselves to receive our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the Blessed Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.